Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations that demystify, destigmatize, and desensitize what goes on both inside the therapy room and in daily life.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Logan.
And we are seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. Every week, we sit down for soul-provoking conversations with fellow seekers, thought leaders, change makers, and even real people during live coaching sessions as they navigate the hard work it takes to be a human.
This is Cheaper Than Therapy.
Hello, y'all.
Hello,
Welcome
y'all.
Back to another episode of Cheaper Than Therapy. So we have a question that we want to talk about slash answer as best as we can. It's a really long one, so I'm going to give a summation. So it sounds like this woman is best friends with her cousin her whole life. It sounds like they are very close in age. They're like sisters. And about 5 years ago, she got into a relationship with somebody that kind of started off immediately rocky. It sounds like she met this person coming out of a really bad breakup, and it was a bit of a rebound turned into now husband. But it sounds like the guy in this question is pretty abusive. Also looks like he is struggling with some alcohol dependence. Sorry, I'm trying to summarize it for y'all. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. I think he's abusive. She's questioning, like, what do I do about it? It sounds like her cousin kind of brushes it off. The way that I'm looking at this, it sounds like the cousin can be a little embarrassed of her husband's behavior. And so that might be why she brushes it off. I'll read to this part. It says, anytime I try to bring up his behavior, my cousin, his wife, just says, oh, he's stupid, or just ignore him, and talks about how he's just depressed and has low self-esteem. I'm scared for my cousin, the future of their family, and at this point, I don't even want to have him around, but I know that in doing so, it will only isolate my cousin further. I don't know if she knows about his pill usage, which sounds like is another issue, or not. What do I do?
Oof.
Yeah. So, deep breath on that one.
Yeah. Just if you're listening, so much love to you, my friend, because I think that's a really hard position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
To love someone and to feel like where they are is really difficult to witness them in the season that they're moving through. And I am feeling really powerless to do anything about it, you know? And that thing of like, I don't know if she knows about his pill use, I would stay as far away from that as humanly possible if I were you. Because what ends up happening is you become the person that has exposed some things that she may or may not be ready to hear or acknowledge. But then, you know, when and if she circles back to that person about what the two of you have talked about, you do become public enemy number one.
Yeah, and you become the bad guy.
I think it will lead to further isolation for her and alienation in your relationship, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is interesting because whether to this kind of extreme or not, I feel like I've heard or I hear some variation of a question in here around like, how do I show up and be supportive for somebody who is really struggling in a way that I feel like I'm able to see, right? And they're not able to see. And then eventually, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I keep saying the things. I keep being the safe container. I keep, well, a lot of times I'll hear, I keep giving them the same advice and they're not listening, right? Which we could talk about. And then the person who is actually trying to be the support system also kind of gets burnt out because it feels like they are just continuing to hold space for somebody who, you know, is going through something.
Yeah. Well, one aspect of what you said just brought up something that I have realized in relationships that I really work to not do anymore is allow myself to be the release valve. And what mm-hmm. I mean when I say that is I don't talk to my partner about the things that I'm frustrated about, yeah. but I continuously talk to my girlfriend about the thing that I'm frustrated about. And what ends up happening is I release that tension with my girlfriend. I feel better once we've processed it. And then I don't actually ever go to my partner with the actual issue. And what ends up happening is not only am I like never moving anywhere and we, as she said, or you said, continuously have the same conversation, but I feel like our intimacy is challenged by that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it feels like, because what ends up happening is I will talk to you about it and then I will not talk to my partner or about the difficulty. And then I'll just stop talking to you about it, like, because it's uncomfortable that I've said all of these things to you and I'm not doing anything. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. I mean, I think that I've even noticed how I mean, and I would say even like a therapist could be that release valve too, you know, like I think I've definitely noticed that I have a tendency to work out and process my stuff in my relationship, whether it's with you or with my therapist, and then bring back a very like culled down, not vulnerable, like talking point back to my partner, right? And one that actually doesn't really make change or give growth an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so I can definitely feel into that personally. And it's been something that I've been really working with, I think the last like maybe 6 months to a year. And I think that's it. I think that if you're, you know, this woman who wrote this in, attempting to be a safe space that your cousin can come to and talk to about what's going on for her. Know that as much as hard as this is, and as much as you want to, you can't change it. You can't save her from this situation. No amount of like advice giving is going to do that, right? Because people aren't going to hear what they're not willing or ready to hear. And so, you know, every soul's journey is their journey. Like they have to go through the experience themselves, right? So whatever it is that your cousin is like soul is trying to learn from this situation, you can't make her learn it any faster by saying it out loud, right? Like that's not how it works. And so you can continue again to be there. So she knows she has a safe person to come to, and mirror back to her. But this is like where reflective listening as a skill comes into play. Right. But we can't save her from it, unfortunately.
And another one of the ego traps that we tend to get into, and I know been there with this for sure, is believing that we know what's best for another person when we don't.
Yep.
It can be like, this relationship is just not good for you, and I see you getting smaller in it, and you don't know the entire trajectory of this person's story. Mm. You don't know why this might be the relationship and the curriculum that they need to be in for however long they need to be in it to accumulate the lessons that you need or they need. Now, what I will say is what you can do, and I think some of my most loving friendships and relationships in my life have done, are really speak to how the behavior patterns make them feel. So I might say if I were her, if, you know, let's say your cousin's husband, you know, gets really drunk and like you feel like unsafe or you feel like it's just not fun and it's just not energy I want to be around, I would say that and I would actually be honest about that. And I think that sometimes that can be sort of that illuminating conversation around like you get to like live your life, like no judgments. And I would love if like you and I spent time together and it'd be you and I, because I find like those drunken evenings and the energy of it just really makes me uncomfortable or whatever the thing is mm-hmm. that you say about it. But I actually think that's fair to say, like, you get to live your life and you get to do whatever you choose to do. And I would love if you and I could have more one-on-one time together yeah. when we, you know, maybe we go on hikes or whatever, something that's just like completely removed from that type of activity.
Yeah. I feel like I've said something similar to a friend of mine where I said, you know, there was some stuff going on in their marriage that just really wasn't being addressed or worked on in any way by either party. Mm-hmm. And I said one time after doing like a family, like a group dinner, and I was just like, listen, it's uncomfortable to be around you all. Mm. I don't enjoy it. Like, I don't want to bring my kid into it. So I'm going to have to like politely decline dinner invites and like family hangs like this. And it was not like said in like a finger pointy way, but it was very clear. I mean, we had talked already about how there wasn't a lot of like conversation between them happening about mm-hmm. anything. And it was like, well, now it's spilling out, right? It's spilling out onto me. And in order to like protect my peace and like my kid, I don't think I'm going to come over for a while. And not that I was like somehow a catalyst for change or something, but I do think it can be a real, like, I remember apologizing. I remember her saying like, no, I'm grateful for your honesty. Because sometimes I don't think we're able to see ourselves when we're so deep in it. And I think what you're talking about, right, is that like potential ability for somebody we love when they're speaking about themselves and their experience to really like turn a mirror around and help us see something in a way that we're not able to see it otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think then what is required for doing that is to like really get honest with yourself and do your own inquiry mm-hmm. around like, where are my projections? Where's my mm-hmm. conceivable shadow around this? So that like whatever I'm bringing to my cousin is clean. It's not mm-hmm. sort of like, I'm trying to think of examples like
covert manipulation. Yeah, as one example.
But even like I'm single and you guys are in a partnership yeah. and it makes me feel.
Yeah. Like the family.
Alienated or that mm-hmm. like you're spending too much time with him. Like if there's any of that in there, like that's your work to clean up and get really totally. Honest with yourself about before you, because I've seen that too. Like, oh, he's just like such like garbage. Like, why is she with him? And it's like, is it really a problem that she's with him? Or do you miss that
yeah.
you guys were so close before he came into the picture and you'd like some of that back? Now, I think there's a way to lovingly express that and like, I miss some of our time together, but I got to be like really clean about like what's my 100%. And, you know, if something about the way he shows up, and in this example, it sounds like there are some behavior patterns that were actually problematic, then can I be like specific? Because I think that's like, let's say he gets really drunk and he says, am I throwing like racist things out? And it makes me uncomfortable, right? Like I would give that specific example to her. Like, and it just makes me uncomfortable. And I say this with zero judgment. I just feel like I would rather not spend time going out drinking because it's not really fun for me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would also say too, like this idea of playing the tape out. I think sometimes before we, not to like make the conversation before you have the conversation so big that the anticipation ends up like kind of cutting you off at the knees. But sometimes I think it's worthy in these types of situations to think through, play the tape out, how it could potentially go. For me, I'm one of those people that likes to pretend that I have control. So if I can be a little bit prepared for what might happen, it helps me take some of the anxiety out. So what I'm thinking of as an example is like, if I feel like he makes racist jokes or something when he's drunk. If I use that as my example, and I think that there's a possibility that she might get embarrassed by that and then pull away from me, I want to think about that and kind of play that tape out. Now, of course, there's five other potentials for how it could go, right? But that is a potential. And I want to actually think about that, because not just for my own self, like not being surprised, but also like, how am I going to respond if that happens? Because I do find, at least for me, that when I go into a conversation that I'm, you know, it's going to be hard. If I haven't thought through what the potential responses are and something comes up, it totally throws me off. And then I end up going into a place of like blaming or defensiveness or arrogance or righteousness or whatever, whatever the kind of more shadow element comes up for me. So that's a practice for me when I have hard conversations sometimes is like, where could this possibly go? And then also leaving room for, I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't know.
Yeah. And I kind of want to give the caveat, as you say that, I feel like so much of what we're learning to do relationally mm-hmm. is like, you and I've talked a ton about like this fawn response that we have mm-hmm. of, I don't say things because people will conceivably pull away from me. And yep. she may, and that may be what needs to happen.
Exactly.
And I think that's also something we have to start like really titrating our nervous system mm-hmm. through, that this person could pull away from me. Yep. I could lose this relationship for a while. But that yeah. like, it's not actually authentic intimacy. If there's things that I can't say to you
right.
because I'm afraid you're going to pull away, then it's like, maybe like having to pull away from you for a little bit and missing her cousin becomes the catalyst she needs to like really look at herself and say, God, I'm like losing my people. I'm like, yeah. this relationship has been in my life my whole life. And is it worth it to me? You know what I'm saying? Just some of that. Is important too, I think.
Yeah, I do. And I think that exact what you're saying is exactly the reason why I do the practice that I do, because I actually am more likely to go into a conversation that could potentially end in that, which like somebody pulling away or whatever, if I've thought through that potential and I've sat with the activation that will come up from that potential, mm-hmm. than if I just, because what I would do is then just not say anything, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think that fawn response is huge. And I think so many of us do that. I mean, it's people pleasing too at its core, right? It's this kind of control and manipulation of the potentiality that this attachment might end. And so how am I going to, I manipulate how I show up in order to manipulate how the situation goes, you know? And so all that, yeah, all that for me is like a playing it out so that I can almost like prepare my nervous system for the potential, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for you if you're listening, and I know that a lot of people can relate to this, because even if it's not as an extreme example as like, oh, this person's potentially an abusive situation, I think all of us can relate to, you know, this person's either doing something or in a relationship with somebody or whatever that I don't agree with or makes me uncomfortable or I'm worried about them or whatever, right? Addiction. And I think that this is something that it's a practice for a lot of us, is to show up in a true intimate way, which is being honest and vulnerable about us and our part, attempting to be a support system that doesn't necessarily try to fix it or save them or, you know, give them advice that we think is best. These are all practices for everybody, you know?
And I think at the end of the day, the bigger North Star that I think you want to hold on to is that each of us, from my perspective, like deserves the dignity of our own life path. And yeah. that is not for us to attempt to negotiate or take away from anyone else. Like yeah. it's ultimately her life. And I know that's a big breath, even as I say that, but that is the larger truth. Like if this is her choice, she has the right to the dignity of her choice right now.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us more, find us on Instagram at Cheaper Than Therapy, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.